Live. We're live. A few technical difficulties today, but we got through it. We got through it. How's everything going on your end? We got another snowstorm. I mean, potentially coming tomorrow now.
I think this podcast is the issue. I'm going to stop getting on this podcast with you, bro, because every time I get on,
we went from an ice storm 2 weeks ago to a snowstorm last week to a third ice storm potentially is what they're saying, and we could lose power again. DTE is going to show us how much they suck.
Are we expected to lose power or just a couple?
I mean, dude, you never know. The thing is, it doesn't even matter about accumulation. It's all about the ice building on the transformers like they did before. But Rashida Tlaib, Westland, Michigan, will be there for a DTE, what do you call it? A town hall.
Are we going to be able to question support?
I'm going to go personally, but she's on the side of the people who are against DTE and upset with DTE. So she's on our side right now. She's on the side of the people.
Yeah, for sure. Good for her, man.
Fuck that bitch. Anyways, sorry. Yeah, I'm going straight for the kill shot. Just wanted to kind of start where we started last time, where you kind of embarrassed me on my own show by
I think are you fake news here? Are you spreading some fake news?
Well, you picked Jon Jones to win pretty easily. And I kind of doubted you. I wanted Cyril Gane to win at UFC 285. You wanted Jon Jones. Big happenings over at Las Vegas.
Cyril Gane was the third option.
Listen, man, he's the number one ranked heavyweight currently, though.
Right, because right? One is
Ngannou
now.
Ngannou was one.
The one that he's fighting now. I forget his name.
Stipe, right?
Yeah, Stipe.
Yeah.
So those two are one and two, and then Gane was three. So I mean, the fact that you thought he stood a chance was beyond me. But look, man,
it was less about thinking he stood a chance. It was more about wanting him to stand a chance.
Okay.
And I really wanted Gane to win, but there was no contest there at all.
That was awful.
Awful performance.
Oh my! He folded him like a chair, made him tap out within 2 minutes and a half, and then Natasha wrote.
Exactly. He had him in the guillotine, which was pretty deadly. You know, the guillotine, it's gonna get you every time.
Weak performance by our buddy Gane. Didn't know what hit him.
Well, Khabib invited him to Dagestan to train wrestling. So,
brother, we'll come over here and wrestle. You know how to wrestle next time. You know how to defend yourself.
Exactly. Speaking of UFC, let's get right into some of the things we saw over the weekend, and one of them pertains to UFC, so I had to share this one. A UFC fighter calls out Jimmy Kimmel and the Elite, basically.
He's been calling him out for at least a year now, if not just under a year.
You know this guy? Because this is the first time I've seen.
Yeah. I've been – I don't follow him, but I'm aware of his content, and he's – like, he stands in front of the Jimmy Kimmel studio.
Yeah.
And like protests and like tries to, you know, poke the bear, if you will. And obviously Jimmy Cole's not going to pay any attention because it's just not a good look, but he's right. Not playing around.
Gotcha. Yeah. This was interesting, but this guy's wearing like a choke collar. So his credibility is not the best, but
yeah.
Let's go ahead and play the clip.
So all those doubting my NFT, you're looking at the guy. That's the reason the college athletes and high school athletes are getting paid today. Mr. Influencer to influencers. Secondly, Jimmy Kimmel, viral this. I fight to eradicate childhood malnutrition from the planet. And until they release the flight logs, you, the mainstream media, Hollywood, are all pedophiles to me. Eat dick. Am I canceled yet.com? So all those doubting my NFT,
I loved it, man. I mean, dude, this guy is the real deal. He's not shying away from calling out Jimmy Kimmel out of all people, who I cannot freaking stan, bro.
It's like every day that passes, I just dislike him even more. Jimmy Kimmel, that is. He's just – he keeps showing his colors. You know what I'm saying? As if I already didn't know, but now it's just to the point where it's, like, blatant. And, yeah, this is the side I'm on, which is the left, you know. And, yeah, that's that.
I woke up, I think, Sunday morning, and I saw that clip. And the reason it came on my feed is because I follow Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers liked it. So that it came up as Aaron Rodgers liked this. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is – you don't see a typical athlete of his caliber going up against the left-wing cabal in that way. So I was freaking shocked when I seen it. He's been after him, bro. He's been after him more than a few ways.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, speaking of, he's very woke, if you will. A lot of the stuff he likes are very opposite of the mainstream media. We'll keep it simple.
Yeah,
keep it very conservative.
100%. David Bakhtiari, who was his left tackle, remember him?
Yeah, zero bucks.
he's over. He was saying that he said to Kimmel as well. He's like, on a reply to his Twitter or his late night show, he said, "Tell me you were on Epstein's flight log without telling me you were on Epstein's flight log." And you saw that probably too.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers liked that as well. But something I had to like just kind of show you. Rodgers goes on a darkness retreat because he's in the middle of potentially going to, you know, the Jets or whoever. You heard about the darkness retreat?
Yeah, yeah. When and, he goes and doesn't get light for like 4 to 5 days. But what happens is people misunderstood that. Is he still goes out and about. He goes on a hike. He goes on canoes. And then at night or at a certain period, he gets two meals a day. And then at like, say, 6, 5, whatever, they go and enter the darkness. And that's when he goes into that.
Interesting.
Deep, yeah.
Okay. So the guy who's put him there in this darkness retreat, I just had to throw this out there. Aubrey Marcus, right? So this guy is the guy. Remember the what was the drug that he tried meanwhile he was like trying to ayahuasca or something?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was.
So this hippie fuck, Aubrey Marcus, is suggesting that Aaron Rodgers does a psychedelic to basically cope with his career and decision making. Right, nothing really spiritual about that. Pretty much mind altering psychedelics, which is crazy to me. Aubrey Marcus suggests that to Aaron Rodgers, and then he suggests a darkness retreat, which is strange hippie shit. Go ahead.
So Mr. Marcus is an experimentalist. He's an unconventional fitness junkie and the human optimizer. And get this, he's the CEO of Onnit. Are you familiar with Onnit?
No, but he mentioned it on the show. Maybe you can tell me about it.
So Onnit is just a supplement that like utilizes brain power and it's like different than other stuff. And they actually have like different fitness equipment. So Joe Rogan's a big Onnit guy. Uh-huh. Sean Stevenson, he has a Motto Health Show podcast. He's big on Onnit. Come to find out, this is the guy.
Yeah, what? Dude, so just a quick image I wanted to show you in regards to Marcus, his podcast cover and his logo is pretty interesting. I want to show you. Let's see how we can get this.
It's like an A and M, right?
Yeah. A and M, does that look familiar to you? I just want to ask you like straight out, like, I mean, what does that look
like? The triangle right off the bat.
Right, that is the literal Freemason logo with the G in inside, right? So it's like this guy is the one. It's like, who do you trust? This is what gets people to start thinking, like, who the hell do you trust when you got Aaron Rodgers going up against Epstein, Jimmy Kimmel, and all these whatever, and he goes on Aubrey Marcus's freaking show, who's clearly a Freemason, and he's got tattoos on his arm that are all pyramids and eyeballs and weird shit like that. Like, I like Aaron Rodgers' thought process right now, but he's questionable. He's questionable.
Honestly, these days, who has credibility, right?
Exactly.
Who's 100% credible, has zero skeletons in their closet? Nobody.
Right.
Exactly. Nobody. The ones that do are like, you know, the small folks, you and I, you know, with this podcast, but, you know, we're not going to ruffle any feathers or you know, move the needle. But again, we can at least try, you know, we can at least put the effort to get the word out there. But people like this, I mean, zero credibility to anybody in the mainstream media or somebody with a huge platform, because at some point they're going to come knocking on your door and say, hey, Mr. Marcus, what we say goes, all right?
Cool. Hippies like him kind of freak me out, because for some reason every time like the escalation of their like rituals becomes like satanic, in my opinion, but maybe I'm just overreacting.
I mean, you're on the right track, you know, you're definitely right on the right track, but.
By the way, I got the presidential seal today on my shirt. Oh, dude, I don't know if you've seen this.
I honestly just peeped it. It took a while.
Yeah. It's Trump's presidential. Trump's presidential seal. Unfortunately, we got the Mike Pence situation on this too, but it's a dope little, I bought this from Trump Unity. That big truck that says Trump 2020 on.
Oh, those guys. Michigan.
Yeah, they sell shit like this. They actually sold me this hat too that says Biden sucks.
I did not know the guys sold merch. I thought they were just trying to be an annoyance, you know, disturbing the peace. But I guess.
Yeah, no, they got to fund that truck somehow, I guess.
Which makes sense. Yeah, everybody has merch these days.
All right, I got a quick clip I want to show you, and I think you've seen this already, but
Stephen A, I mean no offense to you, and I mean no offense to First Take, because I think this show is extremely valuable. It is an honor to be on this desk every day. It really is. But what we've just witnessed is the problem with this show, where we create narratives that do not exist in reality.
Look at Perk.
The implication, what you are implying, that the white voters that vote on NBA are racist, that are they favor white people. You just said that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That is exactly what you implied, Kendrick Perkins. That is exactly what you implied. Secondly, hold on.
I did not call. I stated the facts. And you're not about to sit up there.
We all know what you implied the other day. We all know what you implied just now. Hold on.
I stated it. It's the facts. One at a time. It's the facts. It's the facts.
Okay.
Dude. So I don't know if I completely understand the context of that, but I think that it was regarding MVP voting.
Yeah, because the Joker, according to many people, NBA analysts and people on the inside, so he's going to potentially win his third MVP back-to-back.
What's his full name?
Nikola Jokic, something like that.
Is he that good? Who is it? What team is he on?
He plays for the Denver Nuggets, but he's a great player. The guy's like 7 feet tall, but has the mindset of like a guard. He can dribble, pass, but he's great, and he scores points, whatever. Top team in the West or top five, but – so I guess the argument was I didn't see that entire show, that segment at least. But just understanding NBA and the landscape right now is, I think our boy Perk, when I say our boy, I don't mean our boy. What he was saying is the NBA is being racist towards Joel Embiid, who plays for the 76ers.
Right.
He's having an outstanding season once again, and they're going to look right past him because he's black.
Right.
I think that's just to kind of summarize.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I think, I mean, J.J. Redick seems like the more reasonable one here, in my opinion. I mean, Kendrick has no words to say. He's just denying that he implied.
Like that, and you start yelling and just,
yeah,
you know, getting all upset. It's either true, and you have not enough ammo to come back and have an intellectual conversation to say, well, here are the facts. Instead, you're going to yell, facts.
Exactly. Right. Good on Redick, though, who we've watched play since we were in, what, middle school, I think?
Yeah, man.
Played for Duke.
Played in the NBA for at least over 10 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah, good on him to call it out on ESPN, one of the most, like, racist – that's become one of the most racist networks in terms of just being divisive towards, you know, white people and just constantly – creating divisive rhetoric in any way, whether it's women versus man versus woman, black versus white, you know, trans versus whoever. But
I mean,
good on him.
You know, it's getting out of hand when Stephen A, the most obnoxious guy on television, says everybody needs to calm down. Just calm down. Because if you get towards the end saying, guys, calm down one at a time. So, you know,
dude, Stephen A. How do you feel about Stephen A on the grand, you know, we're all in the game now of judging which character lies on the spectrum of corrupt cabal to like patriot. I mean,
well,
I think
Yeah, he's more on the left because ESPN is run by left. Yeah. And they give him that platform. And if he gets out of line, you know, they're going to crack the whip and he's going to get right back in line. And a lot of times when controversial things happen around the world in the NBA, if what they're saying on ESPN falls in line with the, you know, mainstream narrative, it tells you where they lie. You know what I mean? So
exactly. I totally agree. Moving on, we have a strange occurrence occurring this morning, actually. Mitch McConnell, man. The boy Mitch, the turtle man. How familiar are you with Mitch, and how much do you keep up with the freaking...
I try not to. I try not to because, like you said, the turtle man, he's not pretty to look at, one. And two, I know there's a ton of corruption underneath him, so I'm not a huge Mitch fan, supporter, so... I don't really keep up with him. What's the deal? What's going on?
Dude, Mitch is a classic rhino. He's a
81-year-old
establishment rhino, been in government for 50 years as a Republican, has played the controlled opposition card for decades now. Acts like he represents the people against, you know, democratic liberalism or whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, he's a backer of Ukraine. He hates Donald Trump, right? He really is not a patriot in any sense of the word.
Right.
And honestly, I could give a shit if this man fell on his head and had a concussion. But, I mean, what's there to say about this guy?
Have you seen the clip? Sorry to cut you off. The clip, I think it was about a year ago, give or take. But he was speaking, obviously, on the podium. And behind him was like a high-level Mason or – and the guy like puts his hand in his jacket and gives him like a Freemason sign. And Mitch McConnell,
he freaked out.
Freaked the hell out. Like, oh my shit. God. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
That to me was hysterical because like it's right in front of us. Like that guy has handlers. You know what I mean? People are above him and telling him what to say and do.
So,
like I was like, all right, this dude is he's bought. He's bought and I'm okay. I'm not going to lose sleep not listening to that.
Well, yeah, he's giving a speech in Capitol Hill. He looks back and the guy gives him some kind of symbolic reference.
Right.
And the guy, New York Post is such a shit show when it comes to like showing their website. There's just a bunch of pop-ups and weird shit. But yeah, so basically the guy, he looks back at the dude with his hand in his coat and Mitch freaks out and he changes his whole rhetoric, right?
Yeah, his entire demeanor change. Oh shit, I could be dying tonight.
Exactly. So January 6th, man. What are your thoughts on the new footage? Have you seen the new footage?
I mean, look, even when it was happening, yeah, I did see the new footage, but when it was happening, I didn't buy it. Something didn't seem right at the time. And I was like, there's no way. And then you always want to know what's really happening. Just watch the headlines. Watch the mainstream media. Right. Whenever they're blowing something up and shoving it down your throat, they want you to start thinking that way.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to force you to think, oh, these terrorists. And then come to find out this video gets leaked and people on the left are still upset. Like, hey, why are you guys putting that stuff out there? It's like, it's just surveillance. Like, we're not painting a picture here. It's right there, you know?
I know it's terrible to even consider, man. I mean, I remember when I thought that the election was going to be I was so hopeful about the election being decertified. And I thought that the entire election was going to be reversed in favor of Trump. And I'm like telling everybody, I'm telling my dad, I'm telling
you told me a couple of times. And I'm like, man, I think dude's onto something.
Yeah, I told you. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm like, I'm 99% sure that this election is going to get decertified because insane amount of evidence that was overflowing regarding election integrity and all these guys getting caught and Atlanta, Detroit, Pennsylvania, all these Arizona. Places had Arizona has so much evidence. And then what's his name? Ted Cruz, right? The Mexican guy from Texas. He came forward and said he did not want to certify the election that day. And I was like, fuck yeah, it's happening. Like, we're going to win the election based off of like
a fly boy, the guy that had a fly line on his forehead.
Mike Pence certified. Yeah. So it was like a ritual in a sense where like Cruz said that as soon as he said that, they, I don't know what happened, but like, you know, the FBI was kind of instigating, and a shaman was being shown around the fucking Capitol, and basically, it was very, very staged just for the fact that, like, you know what? If you say the election was rigged one more goddamn time, then you're a January 6th denier, like basically equating it to like 9/11.
I cannot believe they had the nerve to equate it to 9/11 or even come close to comparing it. It's like, dude, are we really talking about the same thing?
Someone posted, I think it was like the Hodge twins. Do you follow the Hodge twins?
No.
They're a couple funny twins who are like conservatives, and they were talking about how they basically, what's more dangerous, right? January 6th or Black Friday at Walmart? And everyone was like, well, more people have died at freaking Black Friday at Walmart.
Oh, you know what? I am familiar with these guys. I don't really follow their content, but I watch a few clips, and I like where they stand on a lot of matters.
Yeah, they're funny. I like them. Let's check out this clip. Apparently, a Capitol officer was walking around, bro. Guy was freaking walking around after he died.
Lied about the police officer they claimed to revere. If they were willing to do that, then their dishonesty knew no limits. And as you'll see in a moment, their dishonesty did know no limits. New surveillance video in just a minute, including new reporting on Ray Epps and what he was doing there and what he told investigators he was doing there and how it's contradicted by the video evidence. But first, to assess what we just saw, Charlie Hurt of The Washington Times joins us now. Charlie, thanks so much for coming on.
Great.
So if you think and you know, you've really got a feel for Brian Sicknick, who's passed away. And you've got to wonder about anyone who knew that he was not murdered by the mob, but they've claimed it anyway for 2 years. And it takes a very low kind of person to do that, to lie about a man's death like that for political advantage. And this tape proves that's exactly what they did.
No, these people are truly sick. You think you know how sick they are, and then you see something like this, and you realize that there is truly nothing, no body, no event, nothing that they won't exploit. And as Joe Biden said, exactly. Oh no, this is also about white supremacy, and nobody comported themselves worse than the press did on this day, and of course years afterwards. And the best example of it is to look at the degree to which so many people in the press are so upset that you got the tapes and that you're going to release the tapes. I've never heard of this. I've never, in all of my life, I've never known a press that didn't want information to be released. That's what we have been fighting for since the invention of the printing press. And now we have all these people, they're so committed to sort of the...
So what are your thoughts about the evidence of January 6th, dude, being handed to Tucker Carlson, like, as a way to tell us the information instead of just putting it out all to the public?
I was kind of scratching my head about, like, why did he have access and not just put it out to the public, like you said? But also, I mean, come on, man, you got to call a spade, that's obvious. Like, your eyes are not going to lie to you, are they? You know what I mean? Like,
I agree. I just think that the rollout is kind of like more about Fox News' profits because they're going to stretch this rollout now. I don't know how far. You know, like, is he going to show us a 15-second clip every day for the next 3 months or something? Like, or why can't this information just be up to us to dissect and kind of publicly be? It's not like it doesn't need any translating. We can do the due diligence.
Right. Absolutely.
So I just think that it's Tucker. I kind of trust him. He says all the right things in a lot of ways, but at the same time, it's like, dude, why does he have to be the one to kind of funnel how I interpret what's going on January 6th? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just didn't make sense to me.
I mean, regardless of who puts it out, it's always going to be skewed because at the end of the day, the main headline is going to go back to, hey, what are you guys doing? And like, even Schumer came on, he was accusing Tucker Carlson of like lying about January 6th and how dare he continue to run this tape. And it's like, bro, he didn't say anything. He just said here.
Right.
Like, exactly. Outside of the video, of course he gave his opinion, but like you could just decipher on what the hell you're seeing.
Dude, Chuck Schumer, what a fucking fraud that guy is, huh?
What a schmuck. How are these people still in office, still have power? Like Mitch McConnell, 81 years old. Like, dude, retire. Why do you guys care so much? Like, even though you state that you care, your actions obviously prove otherwise. So just step down, dude.
I know. It just I was thinking about that today, like looking at Biden give his little budget speech, and I think it was in where, Philadelphia or something. And the dude's talking about, like, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, this dude, man, is laundering so much money and has made himself rich so for so many years. Like, when he was 30 years into this shit, he probably secured like five generations worth of wealth, right? So he continued to do that for another 20 years. Like, so what?
Then it's not about the money.
It's not. It's really not.
So it's really about, you know, getting their way.
It's about, yeah, it's about getting their way. It's about pure evil. You know, they have an objective, an agenda. They have to abide by certain laws, right? Just like we do as religious folk and people who are, you know, worship God. Like, we have to follow, you know, certain. So do they. They have their own set of principles. It just happens to be a direct counter of everything we believe in, you know?
Right. And I would even go a step further, almost in a way of, like, disagreement with you. They don't abide by the same rules and regulations, nor the same law. They pretend, you know what I mean? But, dude, when you have that much money and you have that much power, if you wanted to kill somebody, which we've seen Hillary pull numerous times, somebody showed up missing or dead, you think they abide by the same law? Come on, man.
It's impossible. Yeah. I don't know if you know the name Seth Rich, but that's like the most important one. I mean, he's basically the source for WikiLeaks for Julian Assange. I think Julian Assange pretty much came out and said that, but they, you know, he worked on her campaign, and they offed that guy. He was a legend. Seth Rich went down. I mean, to this day, we have a like insane amount of evidence against Hillary Clinton committing a bunch of crimes on her personal server because of someone like Seth Rich.
Right. And they wiped him off, and that's it. On to the next. And then it's the next headline, and you forget about him because they're going to sweep that under the rug. So I would make the argument they don't abide by the same law.
Well, I guess my point was, like, they don't abide. They abide by the opposite. Like, their principles are the opposite of our principles. Like, but they do abide by some set of, like, guidelines, and they're pure evil. You know, they're like pretty limitless in terms of, like, how far they go. But no, we can go all day about that shit. I mean, there's good versus evil.
You
know.
Started because I was doing some critical thinking earlier.
Shower thoughts.
What's that?
So you had some shower thoughts?
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, these days when you critically think and you even, like, ask why or do anything else like that, you're now going to be labeled a conspiracy theorist, right?
I know. So
back to these politicians that run everything. What's the one thing we've been talking about is the transgender, the gay, which, again, I'm not against gays. Like, you guys
can get into that,
right? I'm fine with it. But
who's
pushing this narrative? Everybody and their mother, all major corporations, all major news outlets, all channels. Yeah. So I was thinking, and I was like, man, this is probably not the best example, right? But if you think of Muslims, right, their biggest thing and their biggest knock against them is like Sharia law, when in reality, I think one country operates on that law.
Right.
Like, they impose that law because that's them in their core belief, right?
Right.
They push it in your face. Now, same concept and apply to what we're seeing. What's being pushed in our face? All those.
The opposite. Right? The opposite, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So that is in their core belief. That's who they are to their core. Their fabric deep down inside is either transgender, gay, pedophiles, of course.
Right.
So that's who they are. And you're not going to stop that train, dude. You could put a roadblock, you know what I mean, in East Palestine, but you're not going to stop. You're not going to stop.
Dude, yeah, it's going to be hard to put a dent in this movement. They've gotten so far with it that it's like, are you telling me there's going to be a day? Which I hope, you know, and I do think there will be. I'm like a hopeful. I try to get involved with this shit, and I try to be a part of it because I truly think that we can still win this battle. But on the other side of it, when you think about the progress that they've made towards the transgender movement and the indoctrination that they've accomplished, you know, is are we going to say that in 5 years that Netflix is not going to be as, you know, blatantly, disgustingly woke and school systems are going to be cleaned out? No. And, you know, Walmart's not going to have the flag there anymore. PetSmart's not going to have the flag there anymore. And, you know, they're going to go back on all the governance of allowing transgenders to get married at churches or a synagogue, right? Or a mosque, right? Like, is that all going to go back? Because, like,
no.
I mean, we're going to get into the Elliot Larson bill that's going on in Michigan right now with the whole transgender thing. But, like, that is – to see that all being reversed one day is hard, which is why you think, like – Elon said it himself, man. End of times vibes. He tweeted that shit.
That guy's – I don't fully trust him. I think he could be a Trojan horse, but nonetheless.
It's a tough one with Elon. I like everything, what he's done to Twitter, but beyond that, he's definitely – you have to keep an eye on the guy.
He's a Trojan horse. Anybody that wears certain attire that has symbolism is whatever. But right. When you want to insert chips into our brains to control data, it comes back to – you talked about them reversing and like one day, you know, moving past all these things and we go back to normalcy. Yeah. One, it's not going to happen. And two, it's a spiritual war.
But do you think that in terms of like the data thing, do you think that there's certain elements of technology, like a very advanced technology like Neuralink, right? When Neuralink is not just about chips, it's more about the way that it's being passed off as is it's, you know, enhances the mind in terms of like you can learn a new language in seconds, or like me and you can communicate and learn things faster than ever and be capable of more than ever. And I know you're maybe going to reject this, but like, and it's supposed to be, there's health benefits to potentially it, where it can fix certain elements of, you know, brain deficiencies, physical deficiencies, right? Because physical deficiencies kind of occur through the brain. So it's like, I think there's still a lot to, it's kind of up in the air still with 50-50, the Neuralink. Is it definitely one of those ideas that you can kind of pass off as like a Bill Gates doomer idea where like he's actually acting like he's going to help us, but he's not? Like, you can definitely say that about that. But I think it's definitely a defining moment for him, what that looks like.
I think there's benefits, pros and cons to everything, right? I don't think the risk in this situation, to your point, you know, is going to outweigh the reward. Reward is going to outweigh the risk. I think the risk is way too serious and way too scary where you're pretty much going to mess with God's creation and throw a chip in there. Now, to the point about the medical advantages, I think that's awesome. But there are a ton of machines that they, you know, have announced or will eventually come out with where you step in like you do at the airport.
Right.
And they scan you. That something like that is plausible where you step into that and it tells you, oh, hey, you got liver issues, and without having to insert a chip inside you or into your brain, if anything. So I think there's going to be advantages, you know, pros and cons, but
you think it's ultimately Neuralink. You think ultimately it's a bad thing. I think it's going to be used as and taken advantage of us in some way?
Yeah, I don't think it's good because right now they're fighting for data. Right now they're fighting for attention. So now if we know your thoughts and your next move, it's like, and that's one of the biggest things. There's many people that point to this and say they're not fighting for anything else outside of your attention and data.
Sure.
Because the more information Google collects, the more information social media collects on you, guess what? They know your next move. And that's why they throw the next feed to you and you're like, oh, I can't get off my phone. No shit.
Exactly.
So like Neuralink, maybe, you know, conceptually it's awesome. It's going to make a ton of sense, but there's always side effects, man. There's always side effects.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's something potentially being input into your brain, right? So it's like you're giving a vulnerability that's basically going to, like, if they wanted to take advantage of that, they could, right? Yeah. They could completely take over what your brain is capable of. So it's like,
look, I'm not going to knock you if you want to put that chip in your brain, but for me, it's going to be a
no for me, dog. No, yeah, I'm not like one of those guys who consider doing it, but I think that from like a health potential, like fixing repair side, and that it could be cool. But if it's like completely hijacked and people are, it completely changes the whole scope of reality in a bad way, then no, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass. Humbly decline that proposal there. Hey, maybe next time, right?
Absolutely. How have you been keeping up with the Twitter files at all?
Regarding,
well, just this Matt Taibbi character. I don't know if you know, he was on Capitol Hill today. I'm trying to look for a good clip to play, but basically, House Democrats were pretty much trying to get him to reveal his sources in regards to what went on with the Twitter files. I wanted to show you a clip.
You said his name is Matt Taibbi?
Matt Taibbi. He's been a reporter for a long time now. He's kind of hand-chosen by Elon Musk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was kind of hand-chosen by Musk to kind of reveal a lot what's going on with the Twitter files. So I just want to give you show you an example of what the Democrats have been up to in Capitol Hill in regards to just completely exposing themselves as complete crooks.
Yes, and I referred to that person as a source.
You're not going to tell us when Musk first approached you.
Again, Congressman, asking a journalist to reveal a source.
So then you consider Mr. Musk to be the direct source of all this.
No, now you're trying to get me to say that he is the source. I just can't answer your question.
If you're telling me you can't because it's your source, well, then that the only logical conclusion is that he is, in fact, your source.
Well, you're free to conclude that.
Well, sir, I just don't understand. You can't have it both ways, but let's move on.
No, he can. He's a journalist.
No, he can't, because either Musk is the source and he can't talk about it, or Musk is not the source. And if Musk is not the source, then he can discuss.
No one has yielded. The gentlelady's out of order. You don't get to speak.
She's out of order because he's interrupted.
The gentlelady's not recognized.
You're not recognizing my time.
He has not said that. But he has said is he's not going to reveal his source. And the fact that Democrats are pressuring him to do so is such a violation.
We're asking him about his conversations with Musk.
The gentlelady has not yielded you time. You don't get to talk.
I have not yielded time to anybody. I want to reclaim my time. And I would ask the chairman to give me back some of the time because of the interruption. Mr. Chairman, I'm asking you if you will give me the seconds that I lost.
We will give you that 10 seconds.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Those 10 seconds, man, really going to prove her point for her.
Yeah, dude, but that was like the general rhetoric of the Democrats in regards to Taibbi. They were just kind of harassing him and making him seem like some kind of corrupt journalist and some biased journalist. When he actually voted for Biden, they ended up revealing in 2020, which is questionable, but like, wow, what the hell did he vote for Biden for? But yeah, so their whole rhetoric was, who was your source? It's like, what do you mean, who was my source? We already know that. Twitter is handled by Elon Musk. He revealed a bunch of corrupt shit. The FBI was involved in Twitter. He revealed that they tried to censor COVID. They were in cahoots with the Democratic Party about Trump and what he said.
CIA.
And right, CIA censoring, all the conservative big conservative names, even small conservative accounts they were going after and censoring. And yeah, Elon bought the company for $44 billion and fucking revealed it to a reporter. And it probably was Taibbi. Yeah, that's how it went. What does it matter? It doesn't change the truth.
It's like, you guys know what's really being done and said, but you're starting to nitpick when you put the shoe on the other foot and you ask some of these people that used to work for Twitter, like, hey, are you a medical professional? No. Right. Okay. So what gives you the authority to censor a doctor who went to school for X amount of years and trying to help the general public by just giving information out? Exactly. Why are you censoring people? And they immediately like go, honestly, I don't know if I can even answer that question. I'm summarizing what they say, like paraphrasing.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They always beat around the bush, and now when they want their answers, it's like, you guys just, you're going after the wrong thing. Like, just make another point. Make something that's going to hold water. Stop BSing, you know?
I know, man. It's like, that's exactly the problem. I mean, there's just so many ways that these Democrats found to, like, expose themselves on Capitol Hill at this point. And the whole COVID misinformation thing, there was even Henry Ford out of Detroit put out an article about hydroxychloroquine when the height of COVID, saying this medication peer-reviewed study, promising enough, it works. It works against COVID. And what happened? Nothing. They actually criticized Henry Ford for even doing the study, and nothing came of it. No one was allowed to prescribe hydroxychloroquine. The pharmacists were losing their licenses if they were going against the state boards that they resided in to prescribe the drug, and they were getting their board of fucking licenses getting taken away from. So it just comes to show you, dude, these guys were clearly just waiting for the vaccine to be rolled out and get Pfizer and all those billions funneled through Pfizer into the government and all that shit.
Who's that one schmuck that runs the World Economic Forum?
Well, I don't know who runs it. Do you? Is it the freaking?
Yeah, is often like speaking. His older guy with glasses, but you know, regardless of what his name is, he recently
the Murdochs or something. I don't know.
No, you know, I'm not gonna even spend energy to knowing who he is because he's such filth. Such a vile human. But he had this, and it's going around social media. Where he said essentially the world is gonna change, and if you're not vaccinated, you're not gonna survive. Sorry, what? What did you say? Because there's a ton of people I know that are, and there's a ton of people that aren't. So I think God is going to determine what the hell happens. Not you, sir, but...
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it blows me away that they tell you the truth and they lie to you at the same time. So in one sense of it, they tell you, and this kind of goes back to your point on the last episode where it's like, well, they're going to tell you the truth. So when you go back and say... You know, you fucked me over. I'm sick. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, we told you all these things and you still went and did that to yourself. We told you in so many ways, maybe not directly. Maybe the nurse didn't tell you. The nurse didn't tell you when you were being injected, but we told you in so many ways that you would get myocarditis. The CDC admits that strokes are up and they have the VAERS data. You can see myocarditis in public information, right? So it's all there, but it's being censored to like scale downwards, in my opinion.
Right.
So it's all out there. It's all out there. And
Schwab. Klaus Schwab.
Charles Schwab. Yeah. Real quick, though.
The guy that's like the main face of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, I think his name is.
Oh, isn't Charles Schwab like a finance? say that again. So say his name again.
Klaus Schwab.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not perfectly familiar with the World Economic Forum, but that sounds familiar. I always hear that name being brought up when it comes to the forum.
Face, like, oh, this son of a mother beach, this guy,
this SOB. Yeah, no. But that I guess
that guy knows best for our livelihood, what to do next, how the world's going. He knows everything, dude.
I guess the point I wanted to finish was regarding COVID deaths is that they now openly admit that the majority of COVID deaths are coming from the vaccinated, right? They now openly admit that the majority of COVID cases are coming from the vaccinated. Meanwhile, like you have celebrities still advertising it. You have Klaus Schwab telling us that we're all going to die. You have Bill Gates saying the future of like civilization is like the vaccine for the rest of your life. It's like, I don't know one person. Do they even still test for COVID, let alone like, I don't get it. There's no flu, but there's only COVID now. It's a joke.
They definitely muddy the waters and you don't know what's real and fake. And it's just, I think it's all by design, dude. I think it's all supposed to happen the way it is. And that's what they're seeking. But the few people that actually stand up and just use logic.
Yeah.
They're the crazy ones. They're the ones going against medical experts and, but it's like we saw, we all witnessed it. 2020 was not only an off year, but it was full lockdown. We control everything. What we say goes. And, you know, platforms like Twitter prove that not everything was authentic. Facebook.
Right.
So there has to be some questioning to some extent, whether it's right or wrong. It's okay to ask. Like, I'm not going to inject myself with a vaccine or a chip without saying, hey, can you just give me the ingredients or why? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it still blows me away that people still have no idea one ingredient listed in the vaccine, the aborted fetal matter, or the, you know, basically the aborted cell lines that they're putting in the vaccine, which is basically dead babies, and they were from like Switzerland or something like crazy like that, like that you would only hear about in a horror movie, is in those vaccines. You're literally, and you know, at that point, it's not like they were trying to scientifically, you know, modulate some vaccine that is like, they just wanted to fuck with you at that point, you know?
I mean, I know, me and you talked about the many athletes that dropped, you know, due to like a heart.
Yeah. And it's right. Like, soccer players, especially.
Yeah, soccer players, some boxers around the world. And if you dare to say, hey, is that person vaccinated? It's like,
right.
What the? Mind your own business, man. We're trying to make sure the guy's okay. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. You can't ask if they're vaccinated?
Dude, it's crazy because I'm pretty sure this goes for a lot of people, but like even in our communities, people, close friends, you hear people dropping dead at like 24 through like younger, dude, like 19 through like 40, no heart conditions, right? No previous illnesses, no signs of anything fatal happening to them, dropping dead of a heart attack. And people are just like, yeah, it happens. People have heart attacks. It's like, dude, he was fucking 19. He went for a jog.
It was really windy out that day. I don't know.
Yeah, you get blown into the fucking traffic.
I gotta find him, but I don't know if it's the Philippines or another country, yeah, like a surrounding country, but they the princess of that country, yeah, dropped.
And what?
And she's like in a coma. I should have sent it to you. And I forgot.
Look at Justin Bieber, bro. I don't know. Have you seen his left eye doesn't work anymore. His right left lip doesn't move anymore. He basically had a stroke.
It's a certain illness that is a result of a stroke, but he has his own. Yeah.
Right, but that's clearly related to the vaccine, in my opinion.
I think you're right. Honestly, it's hard to say.
It didn't start until 2021, or 2022. And it's, remember, what was it called? Paralysis, the facial paralysis that was happening to people who were getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
And so that's what he got that. So shit happened to that boy. Okay. Real quick. I want to go ahead. Did you want to mention something?
What was that princess? So she fell.
She did.
After the vaccine, she's in a coma. And long story short, I think they're that country is going to be the first country in the world to actually sue Pfizer for what they did, because it came back to there wasn't enough medical evidence.
Wow. Or
not enough history to show, hey, this is beneficial. And yeah, I got to find it in, like, you know.
Well, you've seen that prime minister or president in Africa who tested a fruit with the COVID test?
No.
What do you Okay. mean? So when the COVID tests were kind of like, you know, everyone's like, oh, I need to get tested. The numbers are sky high. And, you know, the numbers were going up because everyone was getting tested and people were not even sick. And it was just a bunch of like skewed data. This guy said, yeah, he was a president. He tested it. I can look this up real quick. He tested the vaccine, or that he used a fruit to test.
It sounds familiar, but I'm not 100% certain.
Let me see if I can find it. Tanzania president shrugs off COVID-19 risk after sending fruits for tests. Magufuli, his name was, caused alarm by branding lab tests a dirty game, he said. He said, and hailing natural remedies, right? Because Africans, bro, the African... When it comes to COVID-19, the Africans were so smart. They just used the drugs that they used for malaria, right, which was hydroxychloroquine, and they all survived. They had like a freaking 1% death rate. Here, maybe I can share this real quick.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't the Philippines. It was Thailand. And the royal family is livid. They're going ham. But okay.
Interesting. So real quick. So this guy, Malafuli, okay, divisive president, you know, this guy was basically what you would call a white supremacist in like the eyes of the left, you know, even though he's African black man in Tanzania. modeled his populist response on of Donald Trump and Brazil's Jair Bolsonaro. So those guys are the two guys who just got their elections stolen from them in their respective countries, you know. Denying the risk of the pandemic, his country, you know, made the remarks on Sunday, right? So that's that story, right? What was his name? Megafuli? That was his name, right? All right, next article. John Magufuli, Tanzania's president, died at age 61 after COVID rumors. March 18,
2021. I quit.
Heart complications at a hospital in Dar es Salaam. Samia Salhusu Hassan said in a address. So, yep. Don't forget that, guys. Even though 2020-21 blew right by us, there's still so many things that happened.
Yeah, there's definitely an aftershock. Like, there's a huge shockwave that went out to the world. Like, 2020 wasn't just, COVID-related. Like, it exposed a lot of other things. And then people that spoke out, like this guy,
yeah,
you know, 6 feet under. So, I mean, rest in peace to this guy. You know, I remember seeing that other photo that you showed the first time. He looked familiar, but, yeah, dude, this is more of the control at large. And if you speak out, see you.
Right. Yeah,
that's really sad.
Absolutely. You mentioned you. Did you want to share something you said?
No, I got nothing right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll move on. Here's a quick screenshot I wanted to show you because we talked about this last time. I want to get your opinion on it. All right, so Laura Loomer, we talk. I'll kind of give you the rundown because it's.
I think so I know. If I
can zoom in here. Oh, sweet, yeah. So basically, I think it was Jeremy Redfern, deputy press secretary for Governor Ron DeSantis, right? Is the one that basically said that the woman that got shot was trying to break into the Capitol. We think about that. So this person, Jeremy Redfern, who was DeSantis's press secretary, basically said that Ashley Babbitt deserved to get shot.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we can get into the whole Ashley Babbitt thing. I think I have that clip that you showed me as well. But Loomer goes off and says, today I'm going to introduce all of you at Jeremy Redfern, Florida, Ron DeSantis' press secretary, who publicly tweeted that Ashley Babbitt deserved to be shot and killed by Capitol Police. A truly disgusting thing to say about an innocent American patriot who served her country. It's true. Like, you know, assuming that everything that happened with Ashley Babbitt that day is what happened, DeSantis' press secretary, the potential president of the United States, Ron DeSantis' secretary, said that she deserved to get shot. And look who's seems to be on Laura Loomer's side, bro. Lieutenant Michael Flynn.
Major.
Yeah, he's calling out. DeSantis is really good at having shady things that kind of are lingering around about him, but he doesn't address them.
Yeah, and honestly, if that conspiracy is true about her and she is an actor,
yeah,
if she really didn't die, that means Ron is sticking to the script. You know what I mean? Like, he's adding fuel to the fire when in reality, you know, you see my take on it? You know, I could
absolutely
be wrong. I could be wrong. No, but this guy is going to come out and say, hey, what say you? You know what I'm saying? Like,
what say you? There is no time for amateur hour in America. We have to get very serious. At Laura Loomer is also vindicated for saving about Jack Dorsey and Twitter influencing the 2020 election. So basically, he defended Laura Loomer for saying that she was accurate previously, right? Like, so she's a respectable reporter because she called out Jack Dorsey on Twitter for the election fraud and stuff. So, fuck, man. It's so hard. Like, these right-wing patriots all over the place. All over the freaking place, bro. All right. We're hitting the home stretch, man. We got to hit the transgender stuff. We got to hit that stuff because, like, it's time. All right. We got a respectable father here.
The time is now.
Kid's father.
Okay, good. I was asking for you.
Yeah, I'll take another 3 minutes. Wait, so that's my son. Okay.
11 years old, and went to his library and found that by the entry door.
So just to kind of set this up, before this man spoke, I don't know if you're aware of the whole story here.
Oh, please give me the rundown.
The 11-year-old son went up there, and he's like, why am I seeing these different images and books in our library? I had a teacher or the librarian herself like force this book down my throat and said, yeah, check it out. Like, it wasn't a matter of you have the choice. So the son went up there and was explicit to the best of his abilities, if you will, and said what he's going through. And honestly, hearing it from his mouth, you're like, can this kid just kick a soccer ball, shoot a basketball? Can you just like let him be a kid? And that's how I was like, why are you forcing this kid's hand? Like, he's a child. And the father comes up and he just rips into them. And good for him, man. Every father should step up to the plate. And every mother, just step up to the plate and stick up for your kids, because they clearly don't have a voice anymore. And their voice is being, you know, chosen for them by the board or a therapist. Mm. And like, I don't know, man. It's a tough place to be, honestly.
No, it's so true. I mean, this kid, 11 years old, in my mind, and I have a very high threshold for like considering kids babies, but 11 is still a baby to me. You're still a baby.
His puberty hasn't kicked in yet.
Right. You're still, that's 2 years away from being 9 years old. If you're below 10, you're still a baby to me. Like, I still treat you like you're a little baby. Like, I can't believe. Yeah. 11-year-old. And the biggest argument on the left is that these people are being told, the books are sitting in the schools, but no one's recommending them. They're just sitting there. No one's touching them. But now you're telling me a librarian is telling this kid, here's an Amazon suggestion for you to buy.
Yeah, a suggestion. It's like she's sitting back. She's like, hey, asshole, why don't you just go ahead and rent that book out? He's like, man, I don't want it. I want to read Goosebumps or something, or some other R.L. Stein's Goosebumps. And she's like, no, this is what you're going to need.
Hey, you just took me way back. R.L. Stein's Goosebumps. Hey, chill out with that shit, bro.
Scholastic book fairs, what we call
them? Yeah, those were legendary. You know, nowadays I have younger, family. I've seen kids who go to public schools, and the scholastic shit that you see is all either, subtly gay, or it's all, colored people on the images. Like, it's very,
video of this African-American woman? In Target, and she's like, ma'am, just to be clear, this is the boys section right here. And she's like, yep, that's it. Do you see that video?
Yes, I did, dude. It was t-shirts and women. It was little girls' clothing and t-shirts about being gay. And
let's
get back to a boy. This guy, lumberjack. He looks like a goddamn lumberjack.
Of our library, this is the smut that he is finding. All right, I don't care whether it's gay, straight, bisexual, whatever the terms are for all this stuff, doesn't need to be at our school. Doesn't need to be at my 11-year-old's library. And then as far as genderqueer, I've got a son in the high school as well. And this is bullshit. We know it, all right? We do not need to be having literature that's showing boys how to suck dick, all right? I'm very, very frustrated about it, okay? And you may think that schools know the best for our children. You know who know the best for our children? The parents. So,
100%. I mean, you couldn't agree more.
Mic drop,
100%. Yeah, I mean, gender queer, these books are all over the place. And like you said, man, you almost get the feeling, I'm not spending time in public schools or anything, but are the librarians walking around like salespeople? Let's say you went to I know I'm old, Blockbuster back in the day. You have a sales associate walking around by your side. Hey, anything I can help you with? Any suggestions I could make?
No, and I'm just browsing around.
Right. And they start pointing you. They say, I'm just browsing. You try to shake them off your back. They suggest the gayest shit possible, probably. You know what I'm saying?
Come on. Anything in the entire store.
Yeah, right. And that's they're groomers. And would it surprise you if a librarian is kind of brainwashed to be some kind of groomer? Hell no.
No, absolutely not. Look at all these different headlines that come out. Local school teacher sending dick pics or requesting dick pics. Right. My God, man. Or what was that one couple? It was two men, so two husbands, if you will. I think they adopted two children and got caught up trying to, like, sexualize them and sell the goods to other men.
Jeez.
So, yeah, listen, man, it's a very, very slippery slope.
Oh, man, while we're at this, I just want to kind of touch up on something. Let's talk about Michigan, right? We're two dudes from Michigan. So we're going to goddamn talk about goddamn Michigan.
The main state, baby.
Greatest state in the world, unfortunately, been taken over by a bunch of communists.
You hate to see it, man. You hate to see it.
Here we are. Here we are.
Here we go. Here we go with the bullshit.
Uh-oh. It's giving me some issues here. Hold on. Oh, wait. No. I know how to do this. There we go. Michigan to codify LGBTQ protection rights into State Civil Rights Act. So basically, there's the Elliot Larson bill, which a lot of Michiganders were complaining about. And what they've pretty much incorporated in this bill is that basically women, transgender men can go into a women's bathroom and vice versa. Oh, now.
Nice, man. Yeah. Come on in. Yeah. Let me, let my mom, my sisters and my loved ones share a bathroom with a stranger, not a female biologically, but a male who decided to be a female that day. So,
right. I mean, so many corrupt assholes in government in Michigan, dude, starting from like the establishment left, right? You got Whitmer, and then you got these new people they're recruiting. I can't forget this guy's name. Abdullah something. He was a part of it. Mm-hmm. Rashida Tlaib, of course. And you got Abraham Ayash and like a couple of other, you know, people who are representing the community in Michigan and Wayne County, where it's a lot of religious strongholds in Wayne County. Let's face it. You got the Christians, you got the Muslims, and you got the Jews in Oakland County, right? And somehow these things, considering all these people are so, you know, strong with their faith, the people that they've elected, quote unquote, are getting us, basically my mom, my sister, my niece, whatever, is going to see a fucking grown man with a dick and a skirt on walk into their bathroom and they can't say shit.
You can. And if you do, again, you're the bad guy. And, you know, I saw something a while back, and I forget, it was an African-American comedian, and he made a really good point. And obviously, it was an undertone of, like, you know, humor, but he was stating facts. He's like, you know who's really winning in today's world? The gays, the transgenders. Right. I mean, they have already infiltrated, divided, and conquered, you know, like you know, here, civil rights, government, and they've gotten more done in the last 10 years than us African Americans have probably got done in close to 50 years when it comes to laws, equality, inclusion. Like, they get everything their way. I mean, whereas we are struggling just to get a crumb, literally, a crumb from us. And he's right. I mean, why are these people picking and choosing what they have the world know, deem as acceptable and versus not? And again, back to my point earlier when we started, when this is who you are down to your core and you are the people in power, the pedophiles, the sex offenders, the trans, you guys are going to get your way. And that's who runs the world, dude. Sorry to break the news to you. Sorry to be the guy to burst everybody's bubble who thinks we live in this, you know, perfect world and nobody has evil intent. Okay, just look around you. When an 11-year-old can't go and just check out a book without being, you know, sales pitch.
No, I mean, I don't know if you've seen Michael – shit, real good conservative spokesperson. Michael Knowles, I think his name is. His speech on transgenderism. Have you seen that?
Sounds so familiar.
I can pull it up real quick. An insanely good speech. I think you need to watch that regardless if I can pull it up or not. Let's see. He was at CPAC.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it, huh?
Yes.
And then a biological man won a woman's award the other day, right? So like, I tweeted, this tweet blew up that I responded, and I said R.I.P. I said R.I.P. feminism, hello transgenderism, and it blew up. But like, that's exactly what happened. Like the transgender movement is, you can be a man, right? And completely, it's taken over. It's taken over completely.
Look, I'm gonna make a joke, and I heard this joke, so it's not my joke, but I'm gonna use it.
Yeah.
If we're gonna make this the norm and really have men compete in women's sports, no problem. Just allow us to gamble, and let me put money on the dude because he's gonna win that sport.
Right. That's funny too. Thinking about it from an odds maker standpoint is like, that motherfucker's a favorite.
I'm gonna place my bet on the guy that's like 6'7". long hair. I think that guy has a really good chance.
Brittany Griner's a dude, I think. But anyway, imagine like UFC. The thing about UFC is that's cool. Is like Dana. I think Dana. The only like couple of good things about that dude is like he's totally like he would not put up with that shit. You know,
it's not fair. It literally boils down to just not being fair. I don't care what
anybody trying to. Yeah,
it's not fair. It's not fair.
All right, so this is the last question.
I'm sorry, I gotta cut you off with this.
Any place that you could get more money for the Wayne County region, that it would come from the $100 billion that we've sent to over $100 billion to Ukraine to fight a war, which I can't imagine if we're talking about moneyed interests, if you're talking about big lobbying groups, that there wouldn't be more of it.
What'd you say?
I said, look at their faces, their body language, uncomfortable, like shit. Let's deflect.
Exactly. They came for a climate change event.
Ooh.
And here they are being questioned about freaking, you know, Ukraine and some of their views on some of the things. And Abdullah, you'll see in the video how he tries to deflect this question. This is not the forum. You know, these are very important questions. Well, yeah, they are important questions because we have a citizen who is being represented by this woman who's asking, why did she vote for a pro-war? Why does she have a pro-war stance? And why is she voting on behalf of the people in terms of pro-war? So, sorry, I don't want to diverge, but that's what she said.
An effort to go after that. Further, the revelations recently over the Nord Stream pipeline explosion from Seymour Hersh, which point to the very clear evidence that it was the United States that did the bombing. I think is a very important thing to identify because you, Congresswoman, have not voted against the funding of Ukraine. And it puts to the line the whole notion of the rules-based.
This is unrelated.
To hear from you.
It's an important question. Let me finish.
I know it's not. Write it down.
So my question is, if
write it down.
If you're promoting this idea of a rules-based order, Yet we proceed to blow up pipelines, including an ally, Germany, then will you continue to go along with this lie?
I mean, thank you. We really appreciate the input, and thank you for your care and consideration. We have a process that we've been following. I think your question is a very important one. It's not really the space, right? It's kind of out of context. There are a lot of important questions. We're not trying to answer all of them here. So we're talking about specifically environmental justice, specifically in this region.
Habibi, thank you.
Habibi, thank you for
what an asshole.
Yeah.
Habibi, thank you. It's like, bro, you're in Ann Arbor talking about white man.
If you pay attention right before he spoke, Mr. Habibi himself, there was like a chuckle amongst Rashida Tlaib and him. Oh, like, oh, here we go with this shit. And I think he told her, "I got this. I'll handle this." And then she said, like, and, "You know, of course, he big dick energy there."
Habibi, thank you. Like, who the hell? I hate that guy, bro. Like, he's such a corrupt Dem. He ran against Whitmer. He lost. Both schmucks act like they're our people, but they're actually like, you know, just huge supporters of LGBTQ and, you know, a bunch of other things that go against everything we believe in. And it's just like, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with it. Rashida gets exposed as usual. She can't. She's having a harder time going out in public. I'll tell you that much.
Good. I hope she never goes out in public. So I'm looking forward to see how that turnout is for the use of the DTE that you're going to rally.
Yeah. DTE over in Westland, Michigan. It's a town hall And Rashida Tlaib will be there acting like she's on the side of the people while she votes pro-Ukraine, while she votes pro-LGBTQ. She's going to come represent us on DTE. But I know a few people there who plan on potentially heckling and, like, you know, giving her, you know, their opinion about what she really is up to.
Yeah. Good for them, honestly.
Yeah. All right, we're going to finish with Joe Biden. I'll try to make this quick.
Joe.
Your boy. That's like your favorite guy on the planet, but
yeah, I need to get one of those hats, but not sucks. Just like, I love Joe Biden.
It's a dope hat, though. It's kind of a funny fit, but I love it. It's just so it's right in your face. Hey, Biden sucks.
FJB, man.
FJB.
I had these terrible headaches. Was diagnosed with having anyway, they had to take the top of my head off a couple times, see if I had a brain.
Dude, that's like every suspicion we've had of the guy.
You know, that's the president of the free world, you know, the most powerful country in the world, quote unquote. And he's saying stuff like that. It goes to show you that it's not even a matter of them getting too sloppy or whatever the case may be. They just don't give a shit because who's going to stop them? You know what I mean? I like, who the fuck is this guy to go up there and talk like that? Like, come on.
One more Biden clip, and this one is interesting. This one's very interesting.
I cannot handle anything Biden anymore.
I like this one, actually, of Biden. I'm not going to lie, for a few reasons. Whoa. Yeah, whoa. I know. It's pretty surprising, I know.
Throw me for a loop here.
I think, don't hold me that number, but it's well over 9 on for anybody who had tough time with their business during the pandemic, so they could pay employees, they could do the. But guess what? You may remember I was running for office at the time, but you all may remember that, you know, I had a big fight with the former president and maybe future president. Bless me, Father. Anyway, now all kidding aside, you know, I think don't hold me that number, but it's well over 9,
dude. Biden admitting Trump's going to win, basically. You don't say that. That's not like something you say. That's as the current president and going into being like the incumbent president. Like, yeah. Maybe the future president. And Donald Trump, out of all people, why would he say that?
I don't know. Can't speculate one way or another. But him saying that definitely raises some eyebrows.
Dude, I mean, if I was a liberal, and I mean, these liberals are so triggered by like the word, two words, Donald Trump. And for this guy to sit and say that he's going to be the future president.
Now I know why you like that clip. And I don't blame you.
That's got to be my favorite Biden clip because he was finally being honest. Yeah, fucking Trump is the future of America, baby.
America, let's go.
Can I wear two hats right now? Hey. While sipping up, I got so much Trump shit, like, it's unbelievable.
You know, the next show we do, I definitely want to step into that studio.
Fuck yeah. Get your ass over here, brother.
Yeah, we definitely need to make that happen.
Bring a hookah, man.
Okay. I mean, if that's what you're requesting, man, I gotta, you know.
Don't drop that shit, charcoal shit, though.
No. We're gonna take
it always
care.
Happens.
What flavor do you smoke?
Shit, man.
Something fruity.
Something rainbowy.
You know what? In honor of what's happening in the world, I think we got to get something fruity, something with rainbows. I think that's a great call. We just want to be accepted, right? That's all it is.
You know, or you know what's another idea is like something like that, but we have like, let's say Trump is doing like a rally. And we can put Trump on the screen, his rally, and we can hang out here and watch it on the stream.
Hey, I'm not gonna complain either way. I'm just trying to get out there and make a difference. It may not happen, but hey, you know, we can at least try.
All right, man. Snowstorm coming up. Be careful. Don't lose your power. You know, if only you had your truck right nowadays.
Come in handy, I'll tell you that. But you know what? My 4x4 is getting me through, my all-wheel drive, so we're okay.
Sweet, man. Well, it was a pleasure to have you again on the show. We'll do it again. maybe in person.
Absolutely.
You're a natural at this, bro.
I got a great host, man. I just follow your lead. I'm not doing nothing. Following the lead of the host.
Perfect, man. We'll see you around.
All right, homie. Talk to you soon.